to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. All right. It's Saturday night, November 17th. Keith Alexander and yours truly, James Edwards, here with you at our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to AM FM affiliates across the country of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You know, we've had a great show so far tonight. Coming up later, we're going to be talking about all that secession frenzy that you've been reading about. What's going on? Is the support a mile wide and an inch deep, or is it something more than that? We're going to dig into it deeply. But first, I want to remind you that last week we had a very interesting show, the post-election analysis and recap featuring Keith and I, Sam Bushman, Sam Dixon, Jared Taylor, and George Wallace Jr. also joined us for the third hour. And that was a great interview for me. And I wouldn't tell my audience to do anything that I don't do myself when it comes to donating to this radio program. I donate financially to this radio program above and beyond the fact that I come in and host the show every week and do everything else that I do as the creator of the show. I don't ask you to do anything that I don't do myself. I asked you to buy George Wallace Jr.'s book, Governor George Wallace, The Man You Never Knew by the Man Who Knew Him Best. I bought the book. George Wallace Jr. sent me an email after the show last week letting me know what a great time he had with us and that he would send me the book for free, complimentary, in exchange for hosting him on the program. And I said, no, I want to buy it. And I did buy it. And I got it in the mail a couple of days ago. It has this a beautiful inscription from George Wallace Jr. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I did look through, because it just came in the mail yesterday, I did look through some of the pictures. And what jumped out at me were a couple of the pictures that he included in this book. And what was so striking was the fact that just how far America has fallen, how much we've devolved in just the last 50 years. Keith, it was January 14th, 1963. That was the day George Wallace was first inaugurated as governor of Alabama. Just under 50 years ago, it was. And so you could say in the course of that time, from 50 years, we've gone from southern governors like George Wallace to southern governors like Mike Huckabee. That is the stark contrast. But Keith, I've got this book here. I have bookmarked two pages. I want you to open it to those two pages and tell the audience what pictures you see. And folks, again, this will accentuate just how far we've fallen in 50 years. My father was alive and well when George Wallace was first inaugurated as governor of Alabama. My father was born in 1954, a very ominous year. Keith, what do you see?
Well, first of all, I see a lot of people properly attired in men in coat and ties, women in modest dresses, totally unlike what you see in today's America. But primarily, what is jumping out to me when I look at this, George Wallace is speaking from a platform festooned with Confederate flags. So he's unapologetically Southern and pro-Confederate. Secondly, I see a picture of his wife when she was running for governor, kind of as his stand-in, and she is standing before a picture of Jesus Christ. So we have people that are unapologetically and unabashedly one Southern and two Christian. Of course, Huckleberry Huckabee would never appear with either of those two props behind him in any official capacity. He's busily trying to disown his Southernness, and his Christianity he really downplays and downpedals, except to basically try to embrace some type of heretical Jewish dispensationalist belief occasionally, telling people that he thinks that the Bible requires that we jump on a grenade for the Israelis at every opportunity. Now, the difference between George Wallace and Mike Huckabee is the difference, as John Milton said in his elegiac poem Lycidas, the difference between a Hyperion and a Satyr. George Wallace being the Hyperion, Orville Faulbus, a predecessor governor of Arkansas, to Mike Huckabee being a Hyperion, and Mike Huckabee being the modern-day Satyr, the sellout, the fountain of misinformation that tells us that race is not important and that ideology is everything. You know, the man is either stupid or he's intentionally misinforming the people.
Well, George Wallace, people could dismiss him by saying, well, he was a Southern governor at a time before we progressed to the point where we are now. That's what they would say. He was from Alabama. Of course, he's going to be draped in the Confederate flag in the early 60s. Of course, his wife's going to appear before Jesus, you know, a mural of Jesus Christ as her backdrop. All right, but okay, so I won't argue that. I mean, I could, and I should, but I won't. All right, what about Dwight D. Eisenhower, the president of the United States, very near the same time? Stephen Ambrose, the very famous author of books to do with warfare, wrote a book entitled Dwight Eisenhower, Soldier and President. And then it was a very interesting recounting of a story just before the Brown versus Board of Education decision came down the pike in 1954. According to Stephen Ambrose and his sources, which have not been disputed, by the way, so I'm going to take this as fact, Dwight Eisenhower had a meeting with Earl Warren, who we all know, and the leading prosecutor, or the leading attorney for the segregationist side of the Brown versus Board decision. And in that private meeting, it is said that the President of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower, in an attempt to influence Warren to rule in the opposite way that he eventually did, he grabbed him by the arm and said, "Southerners are not bad people. All they're concerned about is to see that their sweet little girls are not required to sit in school alongside overgrown black boys." That was the President of the United States speaking. Now, of course, apparently he didn't feel that way the day he sent troops into Arkansas, violating state rights, violating state sovereignty, integrating schools at the point of a bayonet. But that's what he said. Not very different than George Wallace. And frankly, not very different, Keith, than most Southerners today. Not much has changed, really, since the day Eisenhower helped ruin public education. White parents just have to spend $10,000 a year to send their kids to Christian schools, so they don't have to go to the ruinous public schools of the day. Hence my education at Briarcrest before I finished up as a homeschool student. We got about 30 seconds before break. I'll give the final word on Dwight Eisenhower's quote to you. But again, 50, 60 years, that's the timeline from George Wallace's inauguration speech and Dwight Eisenhower's quote.
Well, the biggest mistake that people make today is to judge the past by the politically correct present. Not only did Dwight Eisenhower say things that were gross violations of political correctness today, so did Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was the first president to meet with all of the black leaders of the day, and he told them in 1862 that he was going to send black people overseas after they were freed. See, nobody mentions that, but that's the type of truth that we need to get out.
Let the truth be told, folks, here on the Political Cesspool. We'll be right back.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
When the truth is found, welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, we're rocking and rolling, rocking and reeling, Barbara Ann, right here on the political cesspool. A little nod to the Beach Boys, who don't get much play with regards to all of our, you know, and they don't even have a picture on the wall here in the studio, and they should. But anyway, we were talking, yeah, they were. We were talking about, in essence, in the first segment this hour, how much things have changed in just the past 50 and 60 years in America. I mean, Keith, it really is a very dramatic reversal. And it just goes to show how much things can change in a relatively short period of time. Again, you're talking 50 years from the time George Wallace was first inaugurated as governor to Mike Huckabee and Obama's re-election, all within a 50-year span. You know, my father has seen it all. This isn't something that spanned several generations. Obviously, you've seen it all, Keith. Yes, indeed. So, and by the way, when speaking of Wallace, just FYI, he was the last third party candidate. He was a Democrat for many years, and then he ran as a third party because he saw the change coming. He coined the phrase, there's a dime's worth of difference between, not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and Democrats. So he ran as an independent, and he was the last independent candidate for the presidency that received electoral votes, and he received a lot of them. And he was on his way to winning the presidential election the year of his attempted assassination. Now, by Arthur Brimmer. One more thing. We were talking about some of the pictures we saw. The fact that there you had a sitting governor speaking with the Confederate flag as his backdrop. You had his wife, who was also eventually the governor of Alabama, speaking with a mural of Jesus Christ as her backdrop. Things you would never see today from anyone, Republican or otherwise, of the establishment candidates. But also in this book were pictures of some of the protests waged against George Wallace, obviously protests from black folks. And in it, as God is my witness, is a picture. And this guy, and he's holding up this sign that says, you know, go home, George Wallace, you're against civil rights. And they misspelled the word rights. I mean, it's not an exceedingly difficult word to spell, rights. But he managed to do it, and it, you know, it's something we run every year to commemorate the King holiday. The King holiday, there's this picture of protesters, and it's not photoshopped. They have three signs that say, I have a dream, and they're marching in one of these King Day parades. And in each of the three signs, the word dream is misspelled, and it is misspelled differently each and every time. And it goes back to the song that was written about us, Keith, that we talked about at the top of the first hour. This is the level of intellect, or lack thereof, that we're faced with, and that Wallace was faced with.
You know, looking back over this 50 to 60 year time frame, what really jumps out to me is how the left consistently lies to the American public, consistently misrepresents what their goals are. Because if they were candid and told people what they really had in mind, they would never have gained any traction. For example, the Brown versus Board of Education decision was sold to the American public on the grounds that the proponents of school desegregation just wanted poor little children to be able to go to the nearest school, to their home, so they could walk to school, and that these big bad segregationists were preventing that. Of course, it wasn't the segregationists that wound up busing children miles from their homes all the way across town to achieve some type of desired racial result. It was the selfsame liberals who were the, so-called, benevolent proponents of child welfare that were supporting the Brown decision. No, they get, it's a camel's nose in the tent strategy. You know, the Arabs will tell you, never let the camel's nose so much as in the tent. Because if you let the camel's nose in the tent, the next thing you know, the camel will be in the tent and you'll be moved out of the tent. That's what's happened to America. And quite frankly, the descent of quality in American public education since the Brown decision, and in particularly since busing in the late 60s, early 70s took hold, has been absolutely breathtaking. America transitioned from being at the very top of the developed world in terms of the academic quality of its public education system to being near the very bottom of the developed world for the quality of its public education. And it's all due to liberalism and school racial integration. Okay, there, I've said it. That's the truth. Nobody wants to tell the emperor that he has no clothes in today's America. You still find people trying to promote school integration in the civil rights movement as being this blessed, righteous event. But, you know, the Bible speaks directly to this. It says, do not be deceived. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Look at the changes in SAT and ACT scores between 1954's public schools and today. Look at the difference in the safety. Look in the difference at public schools. Look at the difference in the way the whole, you know, appearance of these public schools is now as opposed to then. And tell me whether that's good fruit, that changes good fruit or corrupt fruit. I think we have a caller, James. Mike from Rhode Island. You can put him on right now. Oh, is Mike there? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I wish Mike had been a little more patient, and maybe he can call back. But we were trying to finish up our thoughts, and then we were going to let Mike have his say. Let me give you back to James now. James, your comment.
Well, there's not much more I can add to your commentary, Keith. There never is. And if anyone would like to call, as always, the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. I know it's it takes a leap of faith. You might have to have a little liquid courage before calling into the political cesspool, the most unjustly smeared and controversial radio program on the mainstream airwaves. And so, think about it. Think of how much guts it has to take to host the show. And that's what we do every night. But anyway, Keith, talking about how far we've fallen, and that's really the word I think that we're looking for here. Not that how much things have changed, how much we've fallen, how much we've digressed in the last 50, 60 years. Here it is. I've said it on CNN, and I'll say it again now. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. You know, there was a very interesting man named Keith Alexander who gave me, I was standing in the Memphis airport waiting to board my flight from Memphis to New York to be on the Palazan show one night. And Keith said, you know, you need to work this in if you can. Here's your catchphrase. Here's your mantra. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And as God is my witness, I said it, and I've kept saying it ever since. But here's the thing. Detroit, when left to their own devices, they do what they do. Detroit, the voters of Detroit, and you know what kind of voters they are, they have sent to the Michigan State House of Representatives, the Michigan State Legislature, an 8-time felon, a man, a 35-year-old black man who was convicted 8 times between 1998 and 2004 of writing bad checks and credit card fraud. 8 different times this man was convicted of felonies, and now, he is a member of the Michigan State House of Representatives, also elected from Detroit this year, is a man who once said in a deposition that he is Santa Claus. That man, too, Keith, joins the 8-time felon, Mr. Brian Banks, as one of the leading lawmakers of the state of Michigan.
Well, why shouldn't he? Because he is a perfect representation of the people that elected him. He's just an average guy, an average citizen of Detroit, with an average rap sheet in Detroit. This is what you get. You know, as Grandma used to say, you can dress them up, but you can't take them to town. We get some people like this always in majority black voting districts. They always tend to run people like this.
Don't go away. All right, we got to take a break, folks. We're back with more right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number 2, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we've got a couple of callers on the air, and we're going to get to them first off. But, you know, first, before we get to them, this issue out of Detroit, sending a guy that says he's Santa Claus and a man that's an 8-time felon to the state house. You know, I ran, Keith, here in Tennessee, as you know, in 2002, 10 years ago. I ran for the Tennessee State House of Representatives. And apparently, my losing now seems a little bit worse, a little bit more, if an 8-time felon in Santa Claus can get elected. You know, I received 20% of the vote in a 3-way race as an independent, which I heard at the time was the most garnered by any independent seeking that particular office in the history of Tennessee history. I was also running against the Speaker of the House, which probably wasn't wise, but I did my dangdest. But to my apparent detriment, I was not a felon or a nut. And Keith, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then we got to get to Mike in Rhode Island and then Tim in Arkansas.
Well, the 8-time felon running in Detroit and Santa Claus shows you what the demographic change that is predicted for America will result in. They can basically close the state legislature and start holding the state legislature in the state prison system if we have a majority of minorities in America controlling the electorate.
Well, all's well that ends well. If I had won the campaign in 2002, I would not be on the radio today, and that's a fact. Because I lost, it opened the door for me to create the political cesspool, and the rest is history. That being said, Mike in Rhode Island, who has been waiting patiently, you're on the show with Keith and James.
Hey, guys. James, Keith, you guys are a great men for doing what you're doing. But you know what I think it's time for? I think it's time to actually push for American third position, because I think the Republican Party is, I think all the people are asleep, and I think it's time that we should really try to, especially you, you're still on the board, right, James, to push the American third position. I was just thinking, I think that's the way we should really go, maybe go full steam ahead with the American third position and kind of leave the Republican Party. Sort of, kind of, you know what I mean? What do you think?
Well, it's very, you know, certainly I voted third party this year, as I always do. But the audience is split. We talked about this last week. You know, I think out of the first 40 responses to an exit poll I conducted at thepoliticalcesspool.org, it was split very evenly in 8 different ways. And this is this audience, which marches in lockstep on many, many issues. But, you know, certainly I believe and I would hope that a third party could rise to prominence. George Wallace, as we mentioned in the early 70s, was the last third party candidate to win states, carry states and win electoral votes. Ross Perot won many millions of votes in 1992, but did not carry a state, did not win any electoral votes. I would like to see it. I know a lot of people here are very much with us on the issues, but are Republican loyalists. And, you know, if Pat Buchanan could be nominated to be the standard bearer of the Republican Party, then I would say maybe not. Let's stick with the GOP. If they would elect someone that represents the viewpoints of the center-right voting voters of their party, in short of the GOP nominating someone like Buchanan or Paul or the like, the third party is the way to go. Keith, your comment on the caller from Rhode Island, then we're going to move to Tim in Arkansas.
Well, Mike, we were responding to the fact that there are all of these so-called Republican mouthpieces that were telling us that we need to stop being the white people's party. And we really thank them from the bottom of our hearts that they linked race with the Republican Party, because whenever we try to do it, we're denounced as racist. The only way that you can link race with the Republican Party is when you're trying to denounce the white race. Well, I'm so glad they raised the subject, because quite frankly, I don't care whether our party vehicle is the American Third Position, the Constitutional Party, the Kazoo Party, or the Republican Party, as long as it is authentically representing the best interests of white people in America and is advocating for their best interests, then I'm willing to get behind such a party. I'm not willing to get behind the Republican Party that gives shelter and comfort to people like David Frum and Mike Huckabee. We don't need people like that being our spokesman. And under the present circumstances, I would agree with you. I would vote American Third Position or Constitutional Party to send them a message, as George Wallace said. But on the other hand, they're trying their best make the Republican Party a paper tiger. And to the extent they've succeeded, then I would move to a third position party. But I would really like to be able to use the Republican Party because the white people are already driven into it, for lack of a better option. Yeah. Then on the other hand, we've got Tim from Arkansas who's now on the line. Tim, tell us what's on your mind. Is Tim there? Hello?
Apparently not.
Hey, Tim, you there? Is Tim there? Well, I don't see it. I hear nothing.
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Okay. Sometimes people just can't wait a couple of minutes. But,
can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. There he is. There he is. There's our friend.
There
Tim,
he is
Tim,
in all his glory.
You are live. Tell us what you got to say.
Okay, a couple things in response to your candidate about idiotic candidates being elected. Think Alvin Green and Jesse Jackson Jr.
Great point.
I mean, if this is a harbinger of the future, then I'll take Chris Matthews every time, as bad as he is. A couple of other things too. I think Ron Paul got his revenge on Mitt Romney for treating him so badly at the convention. I think there was a lot of those people who were Ron Paul voters that did not vote for Romney, and not only that, they were animated not to vote for him because he was Ron Paul was so poorly treated at the convention. You know, his delegates weren't even seated, I think.
Well, and Tim. And, you know, you bring up a good point because you look at all of these swing states that Romney lost to Obama by 2 percentage points or less. And in Florida, I think it was 0.5 percentage point. The Paul voters could have carried that for Romney. I truly believe that.
If Romney were smart, and I think he was a little arrogant. I think if he were smart, he'd have put his arm around him and said, I don't agree with this guy on everything. But I'm going to tell you something. Fiscally, he makes a lot of sense.
What about making him
or
his running mate?
And he didn't do it.
If Romney had made Ron Paul his running mate, he'd be headed to the White House right now.
Well, I don't know. I think I do think this. I think Richard Spencer said that things are going to have to get a lot worse for white people before they wake up, and they really are. I mean, white people are so blind and so, driven to apologize and to, oh, my God, it's particularly women, but men, too.
Well, Tim, Keith. Let me say this. I am heartened by the fact that this election turned out the way it did because, for the first time, I think we've broken through to a lot of white voters. They used to think and tell us that, there's just this natural ebb and flow. We win a few, we lose a few. The Democrats will get in, then the Republicans will get back in and all is well. And I think people have been shocked into embracing the reality that demographic change and demographic damage of a permanent nature has been done to the United States of America as a result of liberal policies like the Immigration Act of 65 and like the refusal of either party to enforce the borders. James was talking about having Pat Buchanan on the show early on in our run, and one of the first things I remember Pat Buchanan saying on the show was that either third world immigration, he said, either the Republican Party will end third world immigration or third world immigration will end the Republican Party. It's that simple. It was that simple then. It's that simple now. Finally, we've got people in the white masses that are taking that message to heart. That's why you're hearing about secession. Really, for the first time in my lifetime of being seriously considered by people. It's still a fringe opinion, but we need to learn from the left. We need to start talking about it now if we would like secession to become a reality 20 years from now. That's just what the left does. They plant the seed. The seed has a long germination period, but the seed will eventually sprout as long as it's watered and fertilized conscientiously in the meantime. Now, what has happened in the American electorate, too, is that I hope and I almost pray that the Democrats continue to run minority candidates for president in the future. Because I think on a subconscious, subliminal level, seeing a white male liberal Democrat puts white people off their guard. When they see somebody like Obama, that wakes them up.
Tim, by all means, feel free to hang on the line. We're coming up on a commercial break, but if you could stick with us through the words from our sponsors, we'd love to continue the conversation with you.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
The only thing better than the radio show was the 3-minute conversation during the commercial break between Sam Bushman and Keith Alexander. That was made for radio. Great stuff. It always is. But we still have Tim on the line from Arkansas, who was listening to Keith's commentary towards the end of that last segment and into the commercial break. Response, Tim?
Well, I just think that it, it's brilliant as always. I mean, you know, he's so intelligent and incisive. There's he didn't miss a single thing. And as far as the secessionist movement is concerned, I would really like somebody like Jan Brewer or somebody with some notoriety to really step forward and say this is something we have to do. Because I think here's the thing. I think, you know, you were talking about cojones. I think she's got more cojones than a lot of men, apparently. And, you know, she's really been trying to get the federal government to do its job down there on the border.
Right.
Another thing, too, though, Susan Rice and the Libyan consulate affair. I don't know if our friend Lindsey Graham is just grandstanding or not, but I think they are trying to keep Obama a little bit off guard. Keith, what do you think about that?
Here's what I think about that whole Benghazi thing. It is a diversionary tactic. It's a red herring they're throwing out there because we're sniffing too close to where the bodies are buried. When we start talking about racial dynamics and the Republican Party being the white people's party and that the only long-term solution for our dispossession and political emasculation as white people is secession, then we stopped preaching and started meddling, as my ancestors used to say, and they want to get us focusing our attention on some, you know, totally irrelevant tidbit of information, like some, you know, character who is a total sellout working for the U.S. State Department being murdered and being allowed to be murdered by a president and a military establishment that obviously is not using its force and power for the benefit of the American people, and even for the people who are their functionaries, like the ambassador in Libya. This is that they would like to get us bogged down in minutia like this rather than seeing the big picture and really doing something about it. What we need to be focused on is the fact that we now have a president who can do irreparable damage to the United States in numerous ways. First of all, he can trade away our entire nuclear arsenal. That's what he, I think, was hinting at when he told Medvedev, the president of the Soviet Union, that he would have a lot more freedom to negotiate after the next election. Well, the next election has occurred. He's in. He's not answerable to anyone. He's shown a marked proclivity to govern by executive order rather than going through the legislature. And I think he's going to do that. I think another thing that he's going to do is he's going to get Eric Holder to start prosecuting companies, schools, and government agencies for what are called disparate impact realities under the 1964 Civil Rights Act. In other words, it doesn't matter whether there's been any discrimination or even any hint of discrimination. If a policy taken, for example, to a hiring policy like the one they had in New Haven Fire Department, it doesn't matter whether there's any discriminatory intent, as long as, for example, having an admissions test excludes more black candidates than white candidates, then de facto, that would be a violation of the 64 Civil Rights Act. They're going to try to press that on us. And, you know, there are other things similarly as bad as all of that. And also, he's obviously going to ram through an amnesty for illegal immigrants, which will only fuel the fires and send more our way, thereby speeding the demographic transformation of America. This is what is going to happen. And, you know, your worst nightmare scenario about the transformation of America could happen in this second Obama term. And I really don't think that the legislature, the Congress, or the judiciary is going to be able to muster the strength to restrain him.
Yeah, Tim, a final word?
Well, I think he's right. I think that you know, compared to everything he's mentioned, Benghazi's small potatoes. And you know, I'm like you. I think that it is probably, you know, it's a shell game, and they're keeping their eyes off the ball. I don't know. I mean, you know, all I have to do is keep your firearms handy and hope, you know, somebody else charge one day. And
we can.
Well, amen to that, my friend, and thanks so much for the call. Keith, we have but 5 minutes left in this segment, this hour, the third and final hour, still forthcoming. And don't forget that our co-host, our colleague, our comrade in arms, Bill Rowland, will be joining us to talk about the secession frenzy that is seemingly gripping the nation. We'll talk a lot about that during the third and final hour. But first, Keith has something else for you on deck.
Well, we're delving behind enemy lines, as we often do here on the show, and that's my original segment, and I take great pride in it. Looking at the commercial appeal, the local newspaper from Memphis, and the recent edition of it from Thursday, November the 8th, 2012, the headline was State Taking Over 10 More City of Memphis Schools. Four others in bottom 5% to remain under local control, teachers invited to switch. This is an article by Jana Roberts. 10 more Memphis City schools will be run by charters or by the state through the Achievement School District next fall. The Achievement School District, by the way, is an almost Orwellian name. It's the really, it should be named the Non-Achievement School District. In other words, they have segregated the worst performing schools and put them in the so-called Achievement School District. And what they're trying to do is take the few good teachers that they have in the Memphis school system and put them with the worst students, and hopefully that will raise up the academic achievement of the worst students. Says, back to the article, staff at schools in Frazier, North Memphis, and the southwest corner of the city got the word in meetings with ASD, that's Achievement School District, staff Monday and Wednesday. The teachers were invited to join the ASD or look elsewhere for jobs. The schools are all in the bottom 5% of the state of Tennessee. Graves Elementary, Norris Elementary, Alcee Ball Elementary, Corey Middle, Cherokee Elementary, my alma mater, by the way, Hanley Elementary, Shannon Elementary, Treadwell Elementary, Caldwell Guthrie Elementary, Klondike Elementary, Cypress Middle, Georgian Hills Middle, Denver Elementary, and Whitney Elementary. There are 14 in all, but only 10 will actually convert to ASD. The others are expected to remain under the authority of the Unified Memphis and Shelby County School Board. Now, we were just talking a few minutes ago about the precipitous decline in the quality of public education in America since the Sainted Brown decision was handed down on May the 17th, 1954. Here in Memphis, we're at ground zero. The school that I attended, Cherokee Elementary, is now listed among the 10 worst in the state of Tennessee. It was a fine school when I attended it, but school racial integration has worked its magic on Cherokee Elementary, and it's now basically nothing more than a holding pen for young black students. I don't think they have a white student in the entire school, and if they do, I certainly pity that poor, pathetic individual. This is what liberalism has done to public education in America. It's like the emperor's new clothes. It's obvious. It's out there. It is something that everyone knows about. Anyone who would send their child to the typical public school in Memphis should be prosecuted for child abuse or child neglect at the very least. What could be worse than throwing your kid into the black hole of Calcutta that most of these Memphis schools have become? Don't take my word for it. Read the headline of the Thursday, November 8th, 2012 commercial appeal in Memphis. This is what has happened to schools that once were fine schools. It turned out governors, it turned out congressmen, it turned out CEOs, it turned out police chiefs, it turned out lawyers, doctors, and Indian chiefs, okay? All of this type of stuff, you know, that is in the past. Now we have schools that can't teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. And this is, you know, this is a calamitous fall and a calamity for the United States of America. Liberalism has brought this on. Why won't anybody recognize it? Why won't anybody say it's time to try something different? Maybe our ancestors were right. Why did their schools succeed so greatly where ours have failed so calamitously under liberalism? Maybe it's the fact that they were conservatives and that they had respect for the viewpoint of their ancestors, and they knew what worked, and they also knew what wouldn't work. They were not, what do they say, fools rush in where angels fear to tread or where wise men fear to tread. Well, wise men would never have reached the decision that the Supreme Court reached in the Brown case.
Wise men say only fools rush in. So said the king, Elvis Presley, right here in Memphis. We got to take a break, folks. Third and final hour forthcoming. Secession frenzy gripping the nation. Bill Rowland, our co-host and friend, joins Keith and I in the studio to comment. Stay tuned.